inspire it to other people throughout the world. Ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Genesis 22 and verse 2. Genesis 22 and verse 2. How many of you ever had a horse to feed or chickens to feed or anything like that and you have to go pick up feed? Ever had to do that? Rabbits? Dog food? Cat food? Big cat food? Dog food? The sacks have a little string on it. And you pull it. If you pull it wrong, nothing happens, does it? Just sit there all day long and fight with it. If you find the right string, and sometimes it's a colored string, sometimes it tells you how to do it. A long time ago, it was this string. You just had to figure it out. If you pulled on it right, it just unraveled everything. That's like the Old Testament is. If you look at it and you pull the right string, it just unravels the rest of the Bible. Or it can lock it up. And the Apostle Paul had quite a problem in the book of Galatians, in the writer of the book of Hebrews, the book of Ephesians, the book of Romans. These were books that were written to correct wrong views of the Bible. Well, back here in Genesis 22 and verse 1 and 2, this is like that string that you just pull and it just unravels everything. And then you can understand it's like walking into a door and opening up a door to giant, glorious rooms. You can go off on a side door and get down a dark hallway, but this, if you do this correctly, you're going to learn the Word of God. You'll learn what it's talking about. Wyomer. Ka. Na. Et. Vinka. Et. Yehideka. Asher. Aha. Aha ta et yitzchak wilek lika el eretz ha ma ri ya we ha aliha lihu, that is who sham Li Ola Al Akkad Hi Harim Asher Omar Elika. That's a long, long verse. There are a lot of cross references to this one. This is like a key verse. This chapter, chapter 22, is like a key chapter in the Bible. If you wanted to put asterisks all over it, you can put that young lady, I saw her using a marker a while ago. Was that, what do you call that? Highlighting? You highlight this whole chapter in the Bible because this chapter is one of the most outstanding chapters in the whole Word of God. This one here is dynamite. And it's dynamite in Greek and in Hebrew. Wyomer, and he said and kept on saying, take now. Take now. Masculine singular call imperative. Take. Now. Sign of the direct object. And then Vinka, his son, his heir. All right, this is his huios in Greek, isn't it? Huios means what? Means absolute heir. This is the heir. This is the firstborn son. The heir. Now, it wasn't really Isaac, or Yitzchak, wasn't really his firstborn son, was he? All right, Ishmael was his firstborn son. But he was born of the bondwoman. The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians tells us, and even in the book of Romans, that the difference between grace and works is like the difference between Isaac and Ishmael. One was a bondwoman, and the other is the heir. Okay, this is the heir we're talking about. The heir, the son. Huion su is what it says in the Septuagint. Et, all right. And then Yehidika. Yehidika, your only one. Your only one. One and only. Yehidika. And now in the Septuagint, it is agapeton, agapeton, agapeton. Agapeton. That means beloved. All right. Beloved. All right. And then it also says agapesos. Agapesos. I know we're teaching Greek and Hebrew together here, but this is what the Septuagint says. And the Septuagint, their idea of this is very beautiful. How they translated it into Greek is beautiful. Your only beloved, having been loved, which ahavta, having been loved, right, having been loved. Second masculine singular cal perfect. The one whom having you have loved. Whom you have loved. Et Yitzchak. Yitzchak means what? Let's go back to the root of Yitzchak. 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 Alright? Let's go back and see it. See, we studied a little bit about this last week, I think. What does Yitzchak mean? Yitzchak means laughter, doesn't it? But it means a lot more than that, doesn't it? It means a lot more than laughter. It means sexual intimacy. We found that out. That's what it means. Laughter, pleasure. All right? And would this boy be the pleasure of his father, finally? Would he? Yes, he would. All right. This is the one. Yitzchak. All right. Wilek. And go. Lika. For yourself. El Eretz. Unto a land. Unto a land. What does this word Eretz mean? What?
Dry
land. Into a land. Dry land. Okay. Dry land. Ha. My. Ha-Maria. All right? The Moriah is what it says. The Moriah. Land of Moriah. Okay? We ha-al-lihu. And after him, there. Sham, there. Sham means what? It means there. It means place. It means monument. Sham, Cham. Okay? Li-olah. For a burnt offering. This word here, this is, oh boy. Take your only beloved son, whom you have, for a whole burnt offering. Now just think about a whole burnt offering. What is a whole burnt offering? What entails a whole burnt offering? Huh? You got to kill it. You kill the offering and you burn it plumb up. Completely burned up. What he's asking him here now to do is to take his only beloved son and kill him and burn him up. Kill him and burn him up. I want you to think about something about, there's a lot of references. We've got to go look at some references here. But the God that Abraham knew is Jehovah, wasn't he? How did he look upon human sacrifice? Huh? He hated it. It was detestable. Had the pagans done human sacrifices? Yeah, all the way from Cain's time. Cain was made the first human sacrifice, basically. Murdered his brother, slew his brother, and butchered him. And God hated it. So think about it. In the Valley of Hinnom, that was a place where they sacrificed children. And they would have these big bronze statues. And they had arms sticking out. And they would go there And if something was really bad, if they were sick, if they wanted a crop, their whole lives were failing or something, they would take one of their children and take the child alive. And in these monstrous pagan idols, they would build a fire in there where there would just be boiling hot fire. And they had arms like this, and they would put their child out there, and they would dump the child into the flames and burn them up, screaming. God hated that. And he named Gehenon, the valley of Gehenon, the place of hell. God hated it so much, that's what he typified hell is to be. Okay. Now, just go back here to what all revelation that Abraham had of God. What revelation did he have of God? And God called him out. He left the Ur of the Chaldees. He'd gone. He saw that God was not happy with the people in the land, with their human sacrifices and all this. And all of a sudden, he finally has this child. Then God says he's not going to be the heir. And then he says he's going to have another child, so he has this child, and as far as he knows, this is the only child him and Sarah are ever going to have, you know. And Sarah is a Shemite. The first one was a Hamite, second one's a Shemite, so this one's basically a pure Shemite. And now he says, take your son, your beloved son, your only son that you have left. The other one was gone. Gone. I don't think he even knew what happened to him. His heart was broken. And now he says, take your only son, your only beloved son, and offer him for a burnt offering. In other words, you've got to kill him. You've got to kill him. All upon Ashad, one, the mountains, Hi Harim. Hor is the word for mountain right there. Hi Harim, the mountains, okay? Which I shall keep on, or which I shall keep on saying unto you. In other words, I'm going to lead you as you go. I will keep on talking to you as you get there. What kind of reaction would you have, Cindy? We all think about things. What kind of reaction would you have? Genesis 22 and verse 12 and verse 16 and Genesis 8 and verse 20, John 3:16. We don't even have to turn there. For God so loved the world. How much did he love the world? That he did this. This very verse right here is John 3:16 of the Old Testament. This is it. We have Abraham as a direct type of God the Father. This is a direct type of God the Father now. Okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 4 and 9. Let's go there real quick. 1 John 4 and 9. And then 2 Chronicles 3 and 1. Hebrews 11. Seventeen through 19, Galatians 3, 6 through 14, and Galatians 2, 19 and 20. Exodus 13 and 19, and Romans 4, 1 through 25. These are all cross-references, okay? Cindy, are you over there yet? First John 4 and 9.
In this the love of God was made manifest, for we are concerned, in that God sent his Son, the only begotten and unique Son, into the world so that we might live through him.
The only beloved, the only begotten. Exactly the same terms. That's in Greek, but in the Septuagint, John knew exactly what the Septuagint said, and this is what the Septuagint says. The only beloved and the only begotten. Just remember that. The only beloved and the only begotten. Now, 2 Chronicles 3 and 1, let's look and see what that says. 2 Chronicles 3 and 1. How fast is that little machine? Pretty fast. Anybody over there, Second Chronicles? Are you there? That's pretty fast.
Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared to David his father in the place that David had appointed on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite.
Okay, this is the very place. This is where it took place. This is going to be where the temple site was. This is a monument, a monumental action right here. All right? And then Joshua 24 and verse 31. Joshua 24 and verse 31. Let's look there for a moment. Joshua 24 and verse 31. Yahshua. Yahshua means what? Yahshua. Jehovah saves. All right? Jehovah saves. That's the name for Jesus, actually. Jesus' name is actually Yahshua. All right? Are you? Who's there? Are you over there, Roger?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, Cindy, are you there?
Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and of the elders who outlived Joshua and had known all the works the Lord had done for Israel.
Okay. And someplace down there it also talks about the bones of Joseph.
The next verse.
30. Next verse. All right. Go ahead.
And the bones of Joseph, which the Israelites brought up out of Egypt, they buried in Shechem in the portion of ground Jacob bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money, and it became the inheritance of the Josephites.
All right. They had faith. Now, all of these children that Abraham had never had the real promise. The only land that they really own, and the only land they really own today in the realm of Jerusalem, according to historical records, is the cave of Machpelah. A burial ground. That's it. That's what they got. They've got a graveyard over there. That's what they really own. They own a graveyard. But Joseph, when he died, or when he was going to die, he said, take my bones out of Egypt. Don't leave them here. Take them over there and bury them in that cave. All right. Romans 4, 1 through 25, we won't read all of that. We're going to go to Hebrews 11, 17 and verse 9 through 19. Hebrews 11. All right, Hebrews 11th chapter. Who is over there? Abe, are you there?
Yes. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, Isaac, your seed will be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received his figurative sense.
All right. Now, you have to realize that God believed, Abraham believed God, and his belief was accounted unto him as righteousness, whether he ever did the act or not. Okay? First of all, this is recorded in the Bible for our edification. When it happened to Abraham, Abraham may have been thinking about this. He probably might have been grumbling to himself all the way there. What in the world am I going to do? What is going to happen here? But he believed God. And he believed that if he murdered his child, if he slew his child, and burned him up, and he was nothing left of him but ashes, he believed God would resurrect the ashes. Because God had also said that through that child will all nations be blessed. So he believed, that's what the book of Hebrews says, that he believed that God, if he killed him, that he would raise him from the dead. And also it says in another place that God preached the gospel under Abraham. And he knew the gospel, the good news. The good news about his son. And that son would come through this child. It would come through Isaac. This was going to be the father of the faithful. Okay? This is going to be the father of the faithful. Galatians 3, 6 through 14 talks about faith. The just shall live by faith. In Galatians 2, 19 and 20. Someone go there, Galatians 2, 19 and 20. That's very, very good. The same terms are used in the Greek from the Septuagint here. Are you there, Roger?
For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God.
I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me.
All right. Go on.
And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me.
All right. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. He loved me. Now, when we say for God so loved the world, we're talking about the Son, too. He's God. For God so loved the world that he gave himself and his Son. Now, on the cross of Calvary, who died on the cross of Calvary? Who tasted death? Who physically tasted death on the cross of Calvary? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God. The whole triune God tasted death on the cross of Calvary. Who raised Jesus from the dead? Anastasia. The resurrection. Who raised him from the dead? Jesus said, you destroy this temple in 3 days, what? I shall raise it up. Another place said, it is the eternal Spirit raised him up. Another said, the Father raised the Son. Who raised him? The triune God. Had took effect in our salvation. All right. Those are 22 and verse 3 now. 22 and verse 3. Anastas. That's the Septuagint. That threw you a little curve, didn't it? I knew you were going to be wake up there. Anastas. All right. Day. And it says here in Greek or in Hebrew, Yashkim. Avraham. Get roll that R, Avraham. Okay? Vavoker. Alright. What does Vavoker mean? It's a plow. To break through. That's when the light breaks through in the morning, okay? Vayaha Vosh. Et Ha Maro. Vayika. Et Shani. Ni aro. Ito. Viet. Yishkak. Beno. All right. Why? Vaka. Atz. Atzi, actually. Ola. Vayilek. El. Hamakom. Asher. Amer. Lo. Ha Elohim. And he resurrected. That's the word Anastas. Anastasia, that's where it comes from. Look at that. And he rose up. And he rose up Abraham. He rose up early. He rose up early. He stood up again. You lay down at night. Every time you go to bed at night and when you wake up, that's the resurrection. You lay down and you sleep as if you're dead, don't you? When you look at somebody, they look like, well, in the funeral home, they look like they're asleep, don't they? And when you wake up, it's Anastasia. It's the resurrection again. Some people don't wake up after they go to sleep. They stay there. When the Bible says they sleep with their fathers, their body sleeps. All right? So our body every night, when we lay down and we go to sleep, in the morning, it's the resurrection, a figure of the resurrection. We stand up again. That's beautiful, isn't it? All right? Vayashkim. And rose up early. Third person, nice and singular. Hithel, while consecutive and perfect. He rose up and stayed up. Avraham. Bavoker. In morning. Bavoker. Bavoker. Look at that. Bavoker. Ba on the front of it. Beth on the front of that means what? That's a preposition in. In the breaking of day is what it literally says. In the plowing forth of the day. Keep that in mind. That's the root of it, okay? Why? Yahavosh. And he saddled, he bound around, and kept on bounding around, third person masculine, singular, cow, well, consecutive, and perfect. That comes from Chavash, all right, Chavash, Vayahavosh, all right. He saddled or he bound around the donkey. The donkey. The donkey. Vayika. And he took and kept on taking Shani, two of his professional guides, his young professional guides. All right, Ni'aro. His young professional guides, Ito with him, Wiat, and of course, Et is what? Sign of the direct object. What's the corresponding word in Greek? Ace. Okay. Yishchak. Isaac. Beno. Son of him. Why? Vaka. And he chopped to pieces. He chopped to pieces and splinters. Third person magnus singular. And I'm going to tell you something. When you chop wood, it takes effort, doesn't it? P.L. Stem, while consecutive and perfect. He kept on chopping to pieces Atz. And in Greek, it's Zilon. The name Sylvia comes from Zilon. All right? Zilon, which means wood. All right? Wood. Atz. Wood. All right? Hola. For a whole burnt offering. And then it says here, and rose up, and he rose up, and he went, all right, he rose up, and he went unto the place, El Hamakom, unto the place, which he had said to him, the God. The God. All right? The God.
What's that word?
The one that I left out?
Yeah, that doesn't
matter. Okay. How you say it. Wayikum. 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 I'm going to write it down myself. Wayikum. Wayikum. 22 and verse 4. Vayom. Hashashilishi. Boy, that's something, isn't it? Hashashilishi. Vayisa. Avraham. Et. Eno. Vayar, Et, Hamakom, Mer Ra Chak. Bayom, what does that mean? In day. In day. Ba on the front of it. Bayom, in day. Ha. Hash. Shilashi. The third, boy, Shilashi, Hashilashi, the third, and kept on lifting up Abraham, et, inal, his eyes, inal, his eyes, Wayar, and he saw, Wayar, look at the root of that word down there, Wayar, and he saw, Et Hamakom, the place, from a distance. He saw the place from a distance. Now, if you look up that word Wayar there on page 906 and page 1157, you're going to see that it means to see, it means to provide, it means to see to it, all of those things. All right? 22 and verse 5. How does that start out? Wyomer, Abraham. El, Ni, A, Ra, Shivu, Lakem, Pe, Hem, Ha, 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 Mor. That sounds like a donkey, doesn't it? Ha, Ha, Mor. All right. We are Nick. We, Ha, Na'ar. Ni, Leka, Ad, Ko, We nish tawe, we na shuva. All right. Now back over there in 22 and verse 4, when we looked at it, the word the eyes there, it's ophthalmos in Greek, by the way, ophthalmos, the eyes, ophthalmos. And to lift up, it is anablexos, he lift up and saw. All right, these are some of the Greek references. And now let's go over here in 22 and verse 5. And he said and kept on seeing Abraham unto his, the little professional guide, young professional guides. Stay here. Stay here. That's imperative. Stay here for yourselves. Stay here for yourselves. Masculine plural cal imperative. Here. Pe. Him with, ha ha more, with the donkey, with the donkey. Onu is a donkey in Greek, onu, the donkey. We ani, and I, and the youth, all right, his youth, and it's paideon, paideon. Paideon in Greek. Paideon's what? In Greek, remember? What's a paideon? Remember, there's quite a few words. Wheels, brachos, nacheons, paideon. What? This is like a teenager. All right? This is one that's in training. This is one that's in seminary. This is one that is in training. All right? And we shall go... And we shall go, first person, corporal, plural, cal, cohortive. It's dia lusometha. In Greek, dia lusometha. We shall go. We shall be loose from here. And over there, odd, over and beyond yonder. And we may worship. All right, and we may worship. We nishtawe. We shall worship. And we shall return. First person, corporal, plural, cal, cohorti. We shall return. And in that, there is faith. We're going to go up there. I'm going to kill this boy. I'm going to burn him up to ashes. And we're going to return. We are going to return, me and the boy. He believes that he's going to return with his boy. All right? Unto you. Anastrepsos pros hemos. Anastrepsos. Anastrepsomen. Anastrepsomen. We shall trace our steps backwards. Again. Anastrepsomen. We shall trace our steps. First person plural. We shall trace our steps back to you. All right. So they're going to come and turn. He says we're going to come back. We're going and we're coming back. Abraham had no doubt that if he killed that boy, that God was going to raise him. Isn't that beautiful? That man had faith. Sometimes you have faith because you see the faith of others, huh? Sometimes we have faith because we see the faith of others. Sometimes people go through trials so that other people will see their trials and be able to go through them also. Some people are examples to others. I've said this two or three times, but I want you to remember this. This is one of the greatest examples that I've ever seen. General George Crook gave fewer orders, written orders or anything, than any other general that ever lived. He said examples are better than orders. He led his troops. He went out in front of his troops. He provided food for them. They'd have beans. They'd have canned this and canned that, and they'd have hardtack and they'd have jerky. But he provided, tried to provide for his troops fresh meat every day when he could. And he traveled out. He was one of the scouts. He scouted for his troops. And his troops loved him. I'm reading the book about him. And there was a historical note in this book that I'm reading. Down here's a page up here. This part of the page is Crook's writing. And down below is historical books that are quoted about these events where he's going. One time in several battles, Philip Sheridan, came in the area, and he went in there where Crook went. And it said the troops loved Crook, and they believed and they trusted him because he was a man of his word. He said he was as stable as a rock of Gibraltar. He never got excited. I don't care if bullets were flying all around him, like hail was falling, he was steady as a rock. And the men knew that he would be there for them, no matter what. And he was shot several different times. You know, he was wounded. Philip Sheridan, they said, the men didn't quite have the same opinion of him. Sheridan was flighty. He was excitable. And he would change his mind right in the middle of a battle. Crook, when he sat down, he decided what he was going to do, and he did it. No matter what happened, he did it. And they knew exactly where to go, and knew exactly what the goal was, and that's what we were going to do. And then he said at the end of the Civil War, he said, it's not who wins the battles, but who gets credit for winning the battles that gets the best jobs and everything. It's the same thing just like politicians are today. Same old story. All right. 22 and verse 6. Vayikach. Avraham. Et. Atzi. Ha'olah. Vayasem. See the difference between Shem and Sam there? See that sin instead of Hashem? Modern Yiddish and Hebrew does not make that differentiation. They have two different letters for the Hebrew alphabet, but they pronounce them the same, don't they? How many S's are in Hebrew? Yeah, several S's. And every one of them means something. Shin is shin. You pronounce it S-H. Sin is sin. Sin. And then we have Semek. Also, all right. And the wood, all you check, Beno, Yagika, Bi Yado, Et, Ha'ish, it's not Ha'is, it's Ha'ish. If you looked at modern Hebrew, it would be Ha'is, won't it? All S's are S's to them. All right. Ha'ish, we et. How many T's are there in Hebrew? Several. All right. Yeah. This is et. Et. T-H sound. Et. All right. Ha-ma-a-kilet. All right. That is a T-H sound at the end also. Y-y-le-ku. She-nehem. She-nehem. In modern Hebrew, it's sinahem. All right? She-nehem. Yadav. All right. Vayikach. And he took and kept on taking, Abraham, et, sign of the direct object, page 84 and 5, if you want to write that down, see it's there. I think I did write it down there. And then zilah. Zilah is wood, all right? Wood for the whole burnt offering. Hola karposios, the whole burnt offering. Wood for the whole burnt offering. When you're going to burn something up, it takes a lot of wood. So he took a lot of wood, chopped up in small pieces, to make a... When you chop wood up in small pieces, what happens? Makes a hot fire. If you want to make a long burning fire, you put a big piece in there. If you want to make a hot burning fire, you chop it up in little bitty pieces. When you have kindling, you make a real fast fire. Most of my life, I've had a wood-burning cook stove and a fireplace or a wood stove in my house. And for the wood, for the fireplace, you start out with a little wood to make a hot fire, and then you get the big wood started, and then you keep putting large logs on it. Okay. In the cook stove, you start out with a little bitty wood, and you're going to usually in a cook stove you fire that thing up, and you want it to get hot fast because you're waiting. You want something to eat. So you put a lot of little pieces of wood in there. It makes a real hot fire. And then, if you're going to cook for a long time, you put larger pieces in. If you're going to fry food, you've got to put some small wood in to keep the fire burning hot. Keep the fire burning hot. Now, in a wood-burning cook stove, you open up, there's an intake and there's an outlet. When you want a hot fire, you open up the outlet all the way and you open up the inlet all the way. And you have a lot of air going through there. That's where you get the hot fire. And that's exactly what's going on here because this is open. So it's got all the air that he wants. And he's got this little fine wood, so he's going to have a blazing hot fire. A lot of times today we don't really see why did he chop the wood up fine? Because he's going to have a blazing hot fire to burn that boy's flesh completely up into ashes. Okay? Wood for the burnt offering, ha'olah, the burnt offering, the whole burnt offering.
I have a question.
Yes.
You say modern Hebrew. Who uses Hebrew?
Well, the Hebrew, the Jews use Hebrew in Israel.
Still.
You have to realize now, in church history, people were studying Hebrew all the way back. There's bits and pieces of Hebrew manuscripts. The Jews, until about 1000 A.D., studied the Greek Septuagint. All right? The Greek Septuagint. And then, up until about 12 or 13, 14, that it was never pronounced. They never pronounced their languages. Now, you have to realize that the Jews, when they went through the festivals, they didn't know what they were saying. It was just like Catholics going to Mass, and when you're high Mass and it's spoken in Latin, they don't know what it means, but they know. They can even say that with the priest because they heard it so many times, but they know what they're saying in all reality. Okay? So they did have similitude of it, but so much of it was what we call Yiddish. And when my Hebrew teacher, when he was teaching me this, he said, all the Jews, he said, they've gone back in the land now, they're really proud, they say they never lost their language and all that. Well, he said, we know this is nonsense. History tells us different than that. Yes, they did. There were Hebrew alphabets and different things back then. They would even put their names in Hebrew and things like that, but they did not use that language for so many years. Finally, the reason why Jews started using their language was why? Again. In 1000 A.D. Why did they want to do that? Why did they start wanting to use Hebrew and start wanting to use scrolls again? They hated the Christians so much that they didn't want to be identified with Christians at all, and the Christian Bible is written in what language? In Greek. And all the manuscripts basically back then were, most of the Christian manuscripts were Greek. And most of the Christian manuscripts were in codex form, weren't they? What's codex?
In book form.
In book form. So the Jews said, let's go back and translate our Bible again into Hebrew, unless we want to be different than them. And so they did that. And then after that, they, what was about, when did they start their vows? About 600-700 years ago, 800 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say 1300.
Yeah, around 1300 when they started the vows. But Hebrew was never pointed. It was never pointed. I read Hebrew unpointed because that's the way I was taught to read it. When I went to Israel back in 1975 and 76, I could read the ancient manuscripts because they're not pointed. On this right here, you can see the old manuscripts. Do all of you have one of these? I think I'm trying to give them all out. If you don't have one, I'll give you one. This is all the table of alphabets from ancient Hebrew. Hebrew was not pointed. Jews are very proud people. And Hebrew language today is more like ancient Hebrew than ever before in history. I want you to know that. They're more like it. But still, the grammar is lacking greatly from biblical Hebrew grammar. Because when you go to the Jewish Publication Society, and when you see them translating, I don't have it with me today, but we have read some of those translations. How many of you have been here? Some of you haven't been when I've read some of that. Like in Genesis 1 and 1. And when God began to create the heaven and earth, Lor HaShemayim is what? It's plural. Even Barashit. I knew that was going to happen. It's about time. Even Barashit. That is an ancient Hebrew plural. If you look it up in the modern, it'll say it's singular, but it's plural. It's an ancient lost plural, Hebrew plural. The translations that I'm giving you here are translations of the Bible. Most of the Jewish Publication Society is an interpretation of the Hebrew Scriptures. It's not a translation. And that's one thing I said when I started this class, we're going to have translation, not interpretation. And we look and we chase those roots. Have you learned some things about the roots? Yeah, I mean,
I didn't see where it was in use.
Oh, Hebrew is in use today. Yeah, they're having a lot of Christians are going to the synagogues and learning all the feasts and everything else. What the synagogues need to do is come to churches. This is the church age, not the synagogue age. We need to tell them. They're the one missed the boat, not us. We got on the boat. Jesus is the Messiah. They missed Him, and they still missed Him. They're still missing Him to this day. I'm not saying we can't learn something in the feast. I have taught the seven feasts of Israel on Sunday morning. It's been a long time since I've done that. But we went through the seven feasts, and I said them and all that. You know, we go through of what they mean and everything else. But I'm going to tell you something. They missed the Messiah. We didn't. This is the church age. Isn't the age of Israel. The age of Israel begins in the tribulation period. That's pretty rough stuff. Then maybe they will understand what we've been talking about. But the reason why the Jews began to use their Hebrew language again, because they wanted to be different than Christians. They wanted to be different than us. All right? Where did we enter to? 226? All right. Let's go back there. Vayikah. And he took and kept on taking Abraham, et otzi wood for the whole burnt offering, and he placed upon Isaac, upon the wood. Now, all this split up, real fine wood, is split up. I mean, there's a big pile of it. Now, he has tied Isaac up. He's still alive. What do you think Isaac's thinking?
He said, "Where's the sacrifice?"
And he placed the wood upon Isaac. Isaac's going to take the wood. He's got all this wood piled on him. Now, pretty soon, he's going to be piled up on the wood. He piles the wood on Isaac. Now he's going to pile the wood up, and then he's going to pile Isaac on top of the wood. All right, poor boy is. He's really thinking. I bet his wheels are burning in his head. his son, and he kept on taking. All right? Third person, masculine, singular, cow, wild, consecutive, imperfect. Can you see the Hebrew grammar? The imperfect language, he kept on doing this, he kept on doing that. In his hand, bayod, bayada, it comes from bay and yod, bayada, in his hand, that da'a on the end of it, it means his hand, okay? In his hand. Et, hayish, and the fire, and, sign of direct object, the, what? Ha, ma, a, kilet. The slicing knife. The sacrificial knife. This is the knife that he cuts the animal's throats with. And he kept on going. Third person, masculine, plural. And they kept on going. And they kept on going. To Shinahim, Shinahim, Yadol, together. They kept on going together. John 22 and verse 6 and 19 and verse 17 are cross references to this. Wayomer, Yitchik, El Avram, Avu, Aviu, that is. Wayomer, Avi, Wayomer, Hineni, Vini, Wayomer, Hine, Haish. Here's poor old Yitzchak. Ha, ha, itzim. Ha, ha, itzim. And look at this word, we, ha, itzim, that is. We ha etz. Now, in modern Hebrew, that would be we ha esim. But it's etz in it. Sadhi is not an s. There's lots of s's in Hebrew. All right? But this is a ts. All right? We ha etzim. All right? We are ye. We are ye. Ha se li ola. All right. This poor boy is beginning to look around. Wayomer. And he kept on saying, Daddy, 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 Daddy. Isaac kept on saying Isaac unto Avraham, his father, Avi. And he kept on saying, and he said, and kept on saying, Avi, my father, Avi, Avi. Remember on the cross, it talks about Jesus calling Abba, his father. Abba, Father. And my father, and he said, Behold, my son. And he kept on saying, Behold, the fire. Ha'ish, the fire. And the wood. We ha it seem, the wood. And where, he's caught on. Where ha, ha say, where the lamb for the whole burnt offering. Now he knows they're going to have a whole burnt offering. Why? Lots of wood. He's going to burn it up. Yitzchak knows that they're going to have a whole burnt offering because there's lots of wood. They got the sacrificial knife to slit the lamb's throat, but they have no lamb. Where's the lamb? All right, now let's go back and see what Abraham, how he answers him. Jehovah Jireh. The title of Jehovah Jireh is right here. Wayomer. Avraham. Elohim. Jireh. Lo. Haseh. Li'olah. Vaneh. Y Yeliku Shenehim Yada. Okay. And he said, Abraham, Elohim, he shall see to it for himself. He shall see to it for himself. The word see, that word, look at that word there. page 1157 in Kohler and Baumgartner. He shall see, that's the word Yireh. He shall see. His third person masculine seen or pal imperfect. He shall keep on seeing for himself. Page 906 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Gyrate means to see and to see to it. To provide. To see and provide. Jehovah Jireh means what? Jehovah shall provide, or Jehovah shall see to it, or Jehovah is seen also. It means all those things. Jehovah is seen, Jehovah shall see to it, and Jehovah shall provide. That's the one thing. This is something very beautiful in these verses. He shall see to it for himself, the lamb, for a whole burnt offering, li'olah, for a whole burnt offering, my son. And they went. They walked. They kept on walking. Third person, masculine, plural, cal, while consecutive, perfect. The two, the shin to him, the two, yadah, together. In the Septuagint, it says, hothios, opsete, hiato, probaton, ace, hola, bar, posin. The God, he shall see to it for himself, shall see. They got it pretty right. God shall see to it for himself. He shall see to it. When I was growing up, my family, I still do, I speak a lot of Hokie instead of English. Okay. And I would ask for something and they said, we'll see to it. We'll see to it. We'll see to it. We'll see to it. When we're to take care of it, we'll provide for that later. Dakota always used to ask me something, Dad, this. And I said, we'll see. We'll see to it. We'll see. All right, we'll provide for it. We'll see to it. Okay? And that's what it is. God shall see to it for himself. Not only God shall see to it for himself, but we're going to see God. Okay? 22 and verse 9. A and B. Vayavu, El, Hamakum, Asher, Amar, Lo, Ha Elohim, Vayeven, alright, Sham, Avraham, Het, Ha Mezbia, alright, Vaya Aruk, Et ha etzem, why ya a good? Et yichek beno, why ya sem? Oto al ham mizbia, memma al li etzem. And they came in together unto the place which Amer hath said. There basically is the root for the word Wayomer right there, Amer. Okay? And on page 55 and page in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and page 65 in Kohler and Baumgartner, that's where you're going to find the root of that word, what all it means. To him, the Elohim. And he built according to a pattern. He built according to the pattern. This built according to the pattern is the same root as son and even daughter. Menot and Benet. Menot and Benet. All right. He built according to a pattern. Now, what did he build according to a pattern? An altar. There was a way. Who taught him how to build the altar? God had taught him how to build an altar all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Way back when they had the first one. Built according to a pattern. There, Abraham, the altar. And arranged the wood. He arranged the wood so it would, remember this is Zelah, wood. And he bound, and kept on binding up. He bound hand and foot. Sim potisas. He bound hand and foot. Isaac, his son. Isaac, his son. And he placed him upon Ha Mizbeah, the sacrificial altar. The sacrificial altar. Now, what do you think Isaac's thinking about all this? Daddy, you lied to me. You didn't tell me the truth. Mimial, from above to the wood. Now he binds him on top and he binds him to the wood. He ties him all together. And he's still alive. He's still alive. All right? Itik ton huion, alton, ep theken, alton, epi to, thisasaterion, epano, ton, zelon. Isaac, the heir of him, he placed him upon the sacrificial altar above the wood. That's what it says in the Septuagint. Are you enjoying the Septuagint's version of this also? Because I want you to see. Actually, the Septuagint in all reality is older than the Hebrew Bible. All right? Now, since 1948 or so, we have the Dead Sea Scrolls, which go back, but we haven't heard a whole lot about that, have we? You can buy, I think it is, the Scroll of Isaiah now, and different parts of that in the Dead Sea Scrolls. I taught a class on the Dead Sea Scrolls here one time. I think there was 8 classes or something like that I taught. If you can go to the website. They're still up there, aren't they, Randall? On the old website? The Dead Sea Scrolls? I think you can go up there and listen to the class I taught on the Dead Sea Scrolls.
How do you say Isaac in Greek?
Isaac. 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 It's that, yeah. That's it in Greek. Isaac. All right? Isaac. Isaac ton huion altu epithekhen alton epito theasos terion epano ton zelon. He placed the heir of him, and he uses the word heir right there, the huion. The heir of him upon the woodpile. All right, 22 and verse 10. We'll quit here with this verse. Is that all right? I know we're quitting right in the middle of a thought, but we can't go much further. All right? Why, Yishla, Abraham, et Yado. Why, Yika, et Ha Ma'akilet. Lishchat, et the no. All right. And he stretched out, way out, his hand. He kept on stretching out his hand. In the action here, I think that he just kept holding his hand out there. And he couldn't make the slice where he would cut his throat. He just kept on holding his hand out there from what the Hebrew action shows. He just kept on holding his hand out there and just looking probably in his son's eyes, realizing that he was going to cause him, that boy's probably bawling his head off.
No, Abraham's probably crying.
And Abraham's bawling, and the babies are bawling, and he's going to do this. He's going to do it, he's going to do it. Okay, that's the end. I mean, he's going to do this. God knew Abraham would do it. We asked him. Abraham didn't know whether he could or not, but God knew he would. And he's out there with his hand ready to slice his it said, outstretch Abraham's hand, and he took the knife to slay Cal Infinity Construct, Lishchot, to slay at his son. It says in the Septuagint, it says, Tain Machairon. That's a short sword. Foxe, to slay Ton Huion Altun, to slay the son of him. To say, Foxe, that means to slay, to slaughter. He reached his hand out, his kere, Kedra, his hand, out to slay his son. Previews of coming contractions. That's it. That's it for tonight. We'll start there next week. 22 and verse 11. Huh? We're leaving right there like they used to do in the old cowboy movies. The guy's falling off the cliff.
Commercial break.
Yeah, commercial break. Not next Saturday, but Sunday. What is the date? The 27th? All right. I write down the date on these things. I go back in some of my old Greek and Hebrew stuff and see it was 30 and 40 years ago. I try to go back and remember, where was I when I thought that? We don't have to remember. Praise is left. I'm working. Cindy, I'm in the 40th chapter. All right, in verse 15.
Well,
we
got
10
more to go.
Well, no, 9. Only 9 in part of 1. But I'm only third pass right now. You have to realize that when I'm going through, I write the Hebrew first. And I go back and I write the English translation. And I have the grammar in my mind. Sometimes I'll write the grammar down, sometimes I don't. But I just want to get the first line down. I'm going to put the Hebrew down, and then I'm going to put the English translation under it. And then I go back and I write the pronunciation of all of it. Then the next pass, number 4 pass, I go back and write all of the grammar and the page numbers down there, along with the Septuagint translation or whatever else that I want to throw in there, and the cross references. So, boy, I mean, that takes a lot of work. But it's worth it. It's worth it. It is worth it. Now, if you do that in all the Greek New Testament and all the Hebrew Old Testament, by the time you get through several of those books, you will know that language. You will learn by doing. We'll learn by what?
Immersion.
All right. By what? Yeah, immersion. By doing it. You'll learn by doing it. And I think that's probably one of the best ways. Because you, especially if you write down the roots of all of it, write down the roots of those words. Wyomer, third person, masculine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. What is the root of that? Amer. Okay. You do all of that and you'll learn page 55 in Brown, Dryer, and Brakes, page 65 in Kohler and Baumgartner. Et, page 84 in Brown, Dryer, and Brakes. Sign of the direct object. The equivalent of that is? Ace. See, you get these things. You get them. And when you got that down there, I remember when Ken Blinn went back to the Louisville, Kentucky Seminary and he started spouting all the grammatical rules, his teachers didn't even know what he was talking about. Just like that. He said, it's baby Greek back here. You're learning advanced reading and research, people. From the start. And are you getting your feet wet in it? You've had some Hebrew. And it kind of helps you probably a little bit. And then you get into the real Hebrew, this Hebrew. Boy, I mean to tell you, it explodes. It explodes into what the meanings are. I hope it means something to you. Well, let's go out and do something eternal. Do something eternal. Brother Don, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Dear Lord, we just come to you.